Dear brothers and sisters, it's a powerful reminder. As we were singing the Lord's song, I was just enjoying because it says, I will worship you for who you are. I think many of us will testify that throughout these many months, God has been so faithful, God has been so wonderful, God's presence has always been felt. And so once again, we want to welcome you wherever you are, and I believe some of you are joining us through online. It's our prayer that God's word will continue to minister to each and every one of us. You know, before we dive into God's word, let's take a moment and ask God to be with us. Let's pray that the word of God will continue to inspire us, that God's word will continue to motivate us. Father, we come into your presence, O God. We thank you for who you are. Lord, we pray, as we listen to your word, O God, we pray that we will hear your voice. And Father, we pray that we will be stirred, O God. Our hearts and minds will be rekindled, Father. We want to live a life for Jesus and for Jesus alone. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, once again, a very good morning to each and every one of you. Praise God for who God is, and we thank God for the many things that God has done in our lives. As I said, you know, we are going through a different time in history, and many of us would say that there are different seasons where we have gone through throughout these many months. Sometimes I believe that God allows different seasons in our life. The reason is to shape us, to help us, to rekindle us, and to also to create us, you know, thing that He wants us to do. And so God uses different seasons in our life. And I know sometimes we don't like the season that we are living, right? We have been tied down to the many things at home or even on offices. We don't have the freedom, but I think God uses and God shows who He is in our lives too. In the passage that we just read today, it's a powerful passage. At the same time, it looks like a very radical passage because the people of God's people were in exile. Can you imagine? They've been conquered by the Babylonian and they were in Babylon as exile and they were captives. They were victimized by the people who had captured them. So how do you live a life in exile? Definitely you'll feel frustrated, you'll feel angry, you'll feel upset at what's happening there. But God had a plan. God had a plan for these people, even though they were in exiles. You know, sometimes, my friend, I believe, and sometimes God allows certain situations in our life. It might be good situations, it might be difficult situations, or even it might be a challenging situation. God allows because He wants to rekindle us. He wants to shape us. He wants to help us. And He wants us to be a living testimony wherever we are. Can you imagine living in an exile in a foreign land? That is not your homeland. That's not the place you want to live alive. But God says powerful words and He reminds these people. I believe, you know, in my pastoral ministry, some of the people have come and told me about their working environment. They say, you know, my company is very toxic. In other words, it's a toxic environment. How can I work in such an environment? Some people have said, and I live in a neighborhood where it's a place for gunshots or even violence. Sometimes we don't understand, but God at times allows us. He places us in situations or even in circumstances or even places us because He wants to do something much more greater, much more powerful in our life. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29 and see why, and what are the things that God was expecting these people to do, even though they were in exile, even though they were in a challenging situation, even though they were struggling. But God says, these are the three things that I want to do in your life so that you will prosper, that you will prosper. Firstly, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 4. And let me read. Jeremiah writes this letter and he says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Can you remember? Just read that word. It says, the Lord carried them into exile. It was not their choice, but it was God's choice. God carried them because He had a purpose. He had an intention. He wanted to fulfill something much more bigger, something much more greater. And then verse 5, it says, the Lord says, build houses. What? In the exile, in the foreign land, the Lord says, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. In verse 6, He says, marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Not only that, the verse completes by saying, increase in number. There do not decrease. You know, when I read this word, I realize it sounds very radical. You know, when we are in a foreign land, particularly in an exile, right, you're in a land that you don't want to be, but God says, I want you to be involved. In other words, God says, I want you to participate in the lives of the people. He says, make homes, get jobs, grow your families. That's what He says. Right? Do life. In other words, He says, don't give up. Don't despair. Wherever you are, in whatever situations you are in, He says, keep on living, keep on building, and keep on going even in exile. What a powerful God that we have, my friend. You know, sometimes when you're in a difficult situation, we pray that we will ask God, Lord, take me out from the difficult situation. When we are in a toxic environment, we say, Lord, open another new door for me. But God says no to these Israelites. Stay there. Sometimes, many a times, we have a fortress mentality, right? We have a fortress mentality and we keep it to ourselves. But the Lord says, you know, be involved in the lives of the Babylonians. Be involved in their lives. Get to know them. Befriend them. You know, that's the God that we worship. That, and that's what He wants. And today, my friend, you know, sometimes as Christians, we huddle within ourselves. We create holy clubs within ourselves. We draw our circle so small, it's within the Christian community. We don't want to draw much more wider. The Lord says, draw your circle much more wider. Get engaged in the activities of the people, of the community, of the nation that you are in exile. And today, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you wherever you are. You know, find an opportunity to volunteer. Maybe in a hospital, in an environment which is totally different from you. Involve in the activities. Engage in community services or even neighborhood activities so that you get to know who your neighbors are. And that's what God wants them to do. There are numerous examples in the Bible about people who were in exile, people who were there in a challenging country, but they continue to live a life. For example, Daniel was a great example. Right, he lived in Babylon, a heathen nation. It says, when you look at the life or read the life of Daniel, you read that he lived there with a sincere devotion to God. Not only that, he invested in the life of the city. He was serving. He never forgot his citizenship. Wherever he was, he continued to help the people. He continued to guide the people. On the same note, he lived a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friend, that's what Paul says. Right? He says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, he says, whatever we do in deed or word, do all for the glory of God. So we might be in a difficult situation. But some of us will say, you know, my work environment is very toxic. Or I'm surrounded in a place, in a neighborhood. It's a very unfriendly neighborhood. At times, God has placed us there. God has allowed us to be there. And He wants us to penetrate into the life of the community, my friend. He wants to get to know the people there. Be friends with them. On the same note, we do things with intent to glorify and to magnify the Lord. And that's what the Lord says. Be involved. Be involved wherever you are. Secondly, when you look at the passage, it's a powerful reminder. Not only we are involved, if you read in verse 5, He says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile And not only he says, pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. You know, when I read this passage, sometimes I have a lot of questions, right? Can you imagine the Israelites were exiles by these people, the Babylonians, in a heathen nation, and they were treated badly. But God says, pray for them. And I believe that is the last thing we will ever do to an enemy who have conquered us. But the Lord says, pray for them, right? And not only that, he says, pray for peace and prosperity of the city. And the Lord says, if they prosper, you too will prosper. What a powerful God that we have, my friend. The Lord is so wonderful. If you realize in Psalm 122, the Israelites were always praying for Jerusalem, pray for Jerusalem. But now the Lord says, pray for Babylon. Pray for Babylon. A couple of words I want to see from this particular verse. He says, seek. It's a very interesting word when, you know, the writer uses. Seek is not just, you know, it's not just looking for something. You earnestly desire. You're actively involved. You're trying to find, you know, you're actively involved, asking God, intervening for the people, interceding for the people and saying, Lord, bring your peace, bring harmony, bring joy into the lives of the people. I think that's one challenging thing, praying for our enemies. But that's what God says, right? And I believe, you know, sometimes we tend to say, I work in a very toxic environment. The Lord says, pray for the environment. When was the last time you ever prayed for your company? When was the last time you ever prayed for your school? When was the last time you ever prayed for your neighborhood and we were walking around? When was the last time you prayed for people you don't like? God wants them to pray. And what are the things He wants them to pray? First and foremost, you see, He says, pray for peace. You know, peace is a very interesting word. It's the word shalom, right? It is not just absence of conflict, but the word shalom means completeness, that there will be safety, there will be healthy, there will be prosperity, there will be completeness. In other words, you're asking God's full blessings on the life of the people. You're not praying that there will be no issues in the community, but you are just praying that people's lives will be touched, that their needs will be met, their family lives will be in order. That's the way God says, pray for shalom, that their lives will be happy. An interesting word, oh, right? He also used prosperity, right? In some versions, you see the word welfare. You know, the word welfare means, right, their emotional, their spiritual, their financial, you know, and even their physical needs should be met. You know, that is the God that we worship, my friend. And that's what Jesus also, you know, did. He said, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And Jesus came. We are not worthy to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. We are sinners. We live in a wicked world. But the Lord came. He showed His love for us, my friend. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. That's what the Lord wants us to do and also to live. Dear friends, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you prayed for your neighborhood? When you were walking around, did you pray for the family that was just going through a difficult time? Did you pray for the kids who were sometimes seen naughty? Did you pray for them and say, Lord, I pray for peace? When was the last time you prayed for people, even in your workplace, in a toxic environment? When was the last time you prayed for your company success? When was the last time you prayed even for your friends, your university friends, or even the university that you belong to? And that's what God wants us to do, my friend. He says, wherever you are, pray, pray. And that is the life of a Christian. And He wants us to pray. Today, I think more than ever, we need to be praying for our nation, because our nation is going through an election in the coming month. And so we need to pray for our leaders. We might not be favoring certain particular political parties, but we need to pray. Because if this nation prosper, we prosper. If our neighborhood prosper, we prosper. If our companies prosper, we prosper. And that's what God wants us to do. And last, let me finish with the last point. You know, true peace comes only when people know the Lord Jesus Christ. And how does true peace come? When we become His ambassadors. In other words, Jeremiah is saying, you know, be His ambassador. Be His ambassador. Yes, peace comes only in and through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so wherever we are, I think if God has placed us even in a difficult or a toxic environment, we need to find ways to share the love of God or even to show the love of God. Always remember, that's what Paul reminds the church. Even Peter, when he writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, even in James, when he writes, he reminds the people who are scattered in Asia Minor that you are exiles, you are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Dear friends, wherever you are, the Lord says, you are my ambassadors. You are my representative. What do an ambassador do? Two things, right? Firstly, we represent the Messiah. We represent the King. We represent the authority personally. So wherever you are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Jeremiah was telling the people. You represent God even in the hidden land. People have to see Yahweh through you. People have to see Jesus Christ through you. They have to see that you are living a life of the gospel. And secondly, what does the ambassador do? He conveys his message, my friend. He conveys the good news. He shares the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, you and I, ambassadors, we need to share the good news of the gospel. That's why if you look at the early church, nothing can ever stop them from proclaiming the good news of the gospel. You know, and when I talk to many people, they say one of the last things they ever want to do is not to offend another person with their faith. Right? We share everything under the sun. We share about politics. We share about sports. Everything. But the last thing that we ever want to share is the good news of the gospel. Dear friends, you and I have the gospel with us. The world needs to know. And this is what Jeremiah was telling the people. Even if you are in the heathen land, people need to know, your enemies need to know the good news of the gospel. It has been entrusted to us. Then the Lord says, let me finish with this word. Then he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper. Yes, when we live a life according to God's will and purposes, you know, God has plans to prosper us, not to harm us. Plans to give you hope and a future. And so, my friend, wherever you are, the Lord has placed you. It might be a challenging place that you might be living in. You might be living in a very difficult neighborhood or even in a very toxic work environment. The Lord says, you know, I placed you with a purpose. I placed you there because I want you to be involved. Get to know the people. Be involved in their lives. Don't compromise, but be involved. Be involved in the activities. You know, get to know them. At the same time, continue to pray for them. Pray that they too will have peace. They too will have God's blessings in their life. Let me challenge you. Find time to pray for the place that you're working to. And lastly, when opportunity arises, always remember, you have the gospel and you are Christ's ambassadors. You represent Him and you have the message, and God wants us to share the message. Let me pray. And after prayer, we want to have a communion. And this is a wonderful communion because we want to tell God, Lord, you love us so much. You gave your life, O God. And help us to give our lives. Help us, O Lord, to spend our life just pleasing you and glorifying you. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given to us. That we can come, O Lord, to worship you, to glorify you. Lord, there are moments, O God, we complain in the place that we are in. maybe about our workplace or even the circumstances we might be in. Father, we pray, Lord, help us to know there are moments that you've placed us there for a purpose. Help us, Lord, to widen our circle. Help us, Lord, to be involved in the lives of the people there, Father. Help us, to live a life, even in the places that we don't like to be around. And help us to earnestly pray. Pray for your blessings. Pray for your peace. And help us, Lord, to always share the love of yours today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, as we come together for communion, you know, God's love is so powerful. Right? The Lord loves us, serves us so much. And we want to come together just acknowledging His love and His blessings in our life. Let me read a couple of verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul reminds the church and he reminds about the communion. When we have communion, we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord wants us to be part of this fellowship too. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 onwards. The Apostle Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And then it continues, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Yes, when we participate, we proclaim that Jesus loves us, and because of love, he died for us. Let's take a moment, my friend. Let's take a moment to just examine ourselves and ask God to help us and ask God to forgive us. And let's pray that our fellowship with God will be genuine. Let's take a moment. The body of Christ broken for us. Yes, it's all because of love, my friend. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ loves each and every one of us. And he wants us to be part of this fellowship. Let's partake. Let's partake the blood of the new covenant. Father, we rejoice, O God, for who you are. We praise you for who you are, Father. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your peace, Father. Bless us, O God. Continue to guide us. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.